speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You know, as we look at the world, there are so many negative things that take place in life. It seems like on every turn you find evil abounding. We find that reported in the newspaper. We find that also on the news channels each night. We also learn of corruption that is taking place not only here in the United States, but universally. Also, we are attuned to the idea and to the understanding that there is all sorts of immoral things that are taking place in our world. And as Christians, I want to encourage you and me not to engage in any of those things that would be considered evil, corrupt, immoral, or unethical. We find these things in our society, and it seems as if it's getting more and more pronounced. We also find evil and corruption and immoral and unethical things taking place in our government and with our government officials, and it's on every side of the spectrum. Even sometimes in the Lord's church, we find multiple things taking place that should not, that must not be a part of the true body of Christ. And we will speak in regard to these negative things, and most certainly we must do so. But today, I don't want us to think about the things that are wrong with the church, but today, in our lesson, I want us to think about some of the things that are certainly right about you and me and our relationship with the Lord and what it is that we find in regard to those who are truly members of the church that Jesus Christ died for. First off, I believe that in the Lord's church we have the right and proper understanding of our God. Good people, when we think in regard to people's understanding of God, we find that in the denominational world, oftentimes these people will preach and teach concerning the love of God, and we know that God most certainly is a loving God, but yet at the same time, as they speak continually about the love of God, they are presenting that God only loves and that God has no wrathful side to Him. Also, though, we understand that not only is there a misunderstanding in the religious world, but in the world as a whole. There are those who hold to deistic forms of school of thought, that is the school of thought concerning deism, where that these individuals believe in God and they think that God created the world, but now that God has removed Himself from any interaction with the world. But also, though, there are those who hold to atheistic schools of thought or a belief that there is no God. In fact, those individuals have gone to great lengths. Shirley MacLaine, years ago, authored a book that was entitled Out on a Limb. F. Lagarde Smith later came back with a book to counter that or to refute her book that said Out on a Broken Limb, and that's exactly where she was. J.J. Altizer, in an attempt to discredit a belief in God, years ago penned a book that said God is dead. I love what it is that Brother Marshall Keeble said in response to that as he was preaching and teaching, and somebody said, Brother Keeble, don't you know that God is dead? And Brother Keeble responded in saying, I didn't even know He was sick. Good people, you and I know that God is not sick. God is not dead, but rather that our God is alive. He is the one true and living God as the Bible presents Him. And yes, our God most certainly is a God of love. And our God, because of the love that He has for you and me, He sent forth His Son into the world so that you and I would have a means, an avenue, where that we can have our sins forgiven. And when we think in regard to the existence of God, also we need to understand, and as we preach and teach continually in the church from the Scriptures, that our God is eternal. He will always live. And God also then is always not only aware of everything that takes place in our lives, but God is continually operating to bring forth good continually to you and me as we dwell here upon the face of the earth. What is right with the church? Our understanding of our God, but also our respect for the Scripture. There are some individuals who look to the Bible and they say that it is a good book, and in that they look to the Bible as any other book that mankind has ever printed, and they say that it's a book that certainly is worthy of reading. And good people, I tell you today, as I trust that you already know, is that it is more than a good book. It is the good book that God is responsible for. It is God's inspired message to mankind. Theos Neustos is the term that is used in reference to what it is that God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 about His Scripture. And Theos Neustos literally means that God has breathed or God has spoken to mankind through His message, through the Bible. And in this, as we read and study from God's inspired message in the Lord's church, not only do we understand that it is God's message to mankind, but we also understand that it is the authority in our life. It is the authority for our individual life, the way in which we live as individual Christians here, continually engaging with the world. But also, it is the authority whenever it comes to all matters of religion. We understand in the Lord's church is that we must have book, chapter, and verse for the things that we do collectively as we come together to worship and to praise our God. Whenever it comes to anything that we do in regard to our outreach as well as to works in the church. Why do we say that we need to have book, chapter, and verse? Why do we say that the Bible is the authority? Good people, because of the fact that we have the right understanding or respect for the Scripture. And you and I know that not only is the Bible our authority or standard for today, the Bible also says is that it will be the standard or authority whenever you and I stand before God in judgment. And for that reason, we not only preach and teach of the need to comply with the standards of the Scripture, but also individually as Christians, we seek to live by the high and holy standards of God. But also, when we think in regard to things that are right in the church, I believe that in the church we have the right view concerning the kingdom. In the denominational world, they contend that the kingdom of God, many of them say that the kingdom of God has not yet been established. When they look to the church, they look to it as a mistake. They look to it as something that Jesus did whenever He was caught off guard. They contend that whenever Jesus came to this earth, that He came to establish a physical earthly kingdom and that He was going to reign as king over this earthly empire. But good people, you and I know that the Scripture very aptly tells us that Jesus Himself said that His kingdom was not of this earth. His kingdom was not a physical earthly kingdom, but rather His kingdom is an eternal spiritual kingdom. His kingdom is indeed the body of Christ. And when we think in regard to the body of Christ, as it is presented in regard to the church, it is the church of Christ for which Jesus Christ Himself died for. And in His death, He promised that He would establish the church. And good people, not only do we find that Jesus promised that He would establish His church, we read in the Scripture in the book of Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 41 where that the Lord's church was most certainly established there the first Pentecost after our Lord and Savior's death at Calvary's cross. We have the right view of the church due to the idea and the fact that we know that it was established by our Lord. But also, whenever it comes to the essentiality of the church, there are some who say that the church is not essential, that you can choose the church of your choice and that you can join whatever church you want to join. But good people, in the Scripture identifies to us is that the church is important and that we need to make certain that we are in the right church and that we do not join the church, but rather that the Lord joins us or that the Lord adds us unto His church or His kingdom whenever we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. The church is indeed essential. And in the church, in the Lord's kingdom, in the Lord's church, we understand that. And the Bible also tells us that the church is eternal in this sense. It has its establishment there at Pentecost. But good people, in the sense that the soul is eternal, also the kingdom is eternal in the fact that it will dwell on eternally in heaven with God. Whenever Jesus Christ our Lord returns, according to what the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, that He will lay down all rule, power, and authority, and the kingdom, the church of Christ, members of the body of Christ, will be delivered back up to be with our Heavenly Father. In the Lord's church, we have the right understanding of God. We have a correct respect for the Scripture, and also we have the right view whenever it comes to the Lord's kingdom. But also in the Lord's church, we have the right proclamation regarding our God's plan. When we think about the proclamation of Jesus Christ, I believe that we preach and teach what it is that God tells us that we must preach from every angle. When we think about why Jesus came to this world, good people, He came for a number of reasons. The Bible tells us that He came as a fulfillment of Old Testament Scripture to fulfill all the things that the prophets of God said that the Messiah would do whenever He came into the world. But also, according to what is taught in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 18, He came to declare the Father, to explain our Heavenly Father, the eternal God, unto us. But also, when we think about Jesus Christ and the proclamation of the good news in Christ, our minds go to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. This is indeed the core of the gospel. This is the core message that God presents before us. Without the life of Christ, we would not know Him. But also, without the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you and I, our life in Christ would be in vain. Our hope would be nothing. Why? Because we would be of most men most miserable or pitiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. We preach and teach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that our hope most certainly is in the fact that He died for our sins and that He was risen from the grave by the power and the glory of our God. And when we think about the proclamation of God's plan, we preach and teach what the Scripture says concerning entrance in to Christ and into the Lord's church. Well, what is that entrance into the Lord's church? Where is it that man receives the forgiveness of sin? Whenever we submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. In the denominational world, they do not teach that. Why? Because their man-made doctrines do not embrace what it is that the Scripture says on that. They say that what is necessary in order for an individual to be saved is that they accept Jesus into their heart and that they make a public confession of such and then that they say some sort of a sinner's prayer. And good people, that is not taught in the Bible. In the Lord's church, we preach and teach about baptism. Why? Because that is what Jesus Christ Himself said in Matthew chapter 28. In verse 19, whenever Jesus appeared before the apostles in Galilee after having been resurrected from the grave, He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." A disciple is a follower. And how is it that they were to make true followers of Christ? He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And in the Lord's church, we take that to be the commandment of the Lord, as well as what He says in Matthew or Mark 16 and verse 16 and other places. We take those things to be the commandment of the Lord, and therefore we proclaim the truth whenever it comes to baptism and how that this connects for the forgiveness of sin. And the connection that we also make in our proclamation of God's plan is that not only do we need to be baptized into Christ, is that God calls upon us to live our life faithful before Him, is that we must live a life that is concentrated upon God. We must live a life that is committed to God and to Jesus Christ and to the church. Why? Because they are all connected. They're one and the same in regard to our salvation. But also, not only do we proclaim God's proper plan in the Lord's church, we have the right submission to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Whenever He came into this world, He came as Emmanuel, God with us. But as He came into this world, also He represented the fullness of God, but He also represented the fullness of humanity and the fact that He lived here as the Son of the living God. And not only do we find that He is the Son of God, He is the Savior of the world. He's our Savior. He's our personal Savior in the sense that He died for every single one of us. When He spread His arms out at Calvary and shed His blood, and whenever Christ said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do," He was speaking in the context concerning those individuals, but good people, also He had you and me in mind. And whenever He said, "It is finished," heaven's plan of redemption had been finalized, and He gave up the ghost or died. He did that for you and me. And in the church, we willingly submit to Christ to do all that He commands us to do because He is the Son of God and He's our Savior. And He's our sovereign leader or ruler. We are to be submissive to Christ in all things. What's the word submission mean or submissive? It means that we are to place ourselves under Him. And as we place ourselves under Him, we do that because of the love that He has for us. To begin with, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. And as we look to the way in which He loved us and continues that love for us and all that He has done on our behalf so that we can have our sins forgiven and to be counted as His brethren and to be counted as one of the Father's children, as we look to the level of love that He has for us, then out of our love for Him, we place ourselves under Him. And to recognize that He is indeed our authority in life and in all matters of religion. In the Lord's church, we have the right submission to Jesus Christ. But also in the Lord's church, we have the right position whenever it comes to the body of Christ. We appoint the right positions, if you would. The preacher is not known as the pastor, or he might be known as one of the pastors if he serves as an elder. And I'm blessed to be able to do that. But still at the same time, don't call me pastor. Why? Because the denominational world has a messed up view regarding the pastor. The pastor is not in reference to the preacher per se, as it is in reference to the eldership. And in the Lord's church, we recognize is that the elders take a role, a position in the church so that they rule within the body of Christ. And in the Lord's church, we honor our elders. We respect our elders. And we work with these men as they seek to move us according to the will of God. And in that, we look to the positions of the church and we say that one man is not to be exalted over another man or one member to be exalted over another member. Why? Because we are all equal in the sight of God. Every single one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what title we may have, whether it's preacher, elder, deacon, member, every single one of us represents a soul in the sight of God. And every single soul then is of equal significance before our God and our Creator. But also in the Lord's church, what's right with the church? Our commitment to true worship. There are a number of places that are assembled together today that have anything under the sun going on in their worship assembly. There are some who have a piano that would be being played or an organ. There are some who have bands who will perform before them. There are others who have choirs, and a choir will be set aside and they will sing to the assembly. There are others who have praise teams, and they have others who have mics throughout the congregation and individuals holding those mics, and those individuals are leading, men and women leading. You have others who will not partake of the Lord's Supper. In fact, the majority will not partake of the Lord's Supper today. In the Lord's church, we have a cappella singing and congregational singing that we can point to book, chapter, and verse in regard to the things that we sing. Why? Because as we sing, we are to sing songs that are in accordance with the Word of God, that line up with the standards of God's Word. Why? Because we teach and admonish one another as we sing these songs. We only sing as God commands us to sing a cappella and congregationally and songs that line up with Scripture. Why? Because if we do anything other than that, it is a violation of the law of God. And we understand that. And for that reason, we do what God commands us to do with our singing. We partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Why? Because God commands us to do so. We have the right worship. And somebody says, Kevin, isn't that being a little arrogant? No, it's being scriptural is what it is. It's doing what God commands us to do and standing before a group of people and saying, yes, we do these things. And there's nothing being arrogant about that. There's no bragging about it. It's saying this is what we do and this is what everyone else ought to do if they want to be right in the sight of God. And in the Lord's church, I am so grateful that we do had the right form of worship and that we're committed to making certain that we will only worship God in spirit and in truth. God identifies how He feels about those individuals who do not worship Him in spirit and in truth. He says in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, that during the life of Christ, some came close to God. They drew near to God with their lips, but their heart was far from Him. Why? Because they taught for themselves. There's the key. They taught for themselves the commandments or doctrine of mankind. They didn't teach it for God, but rather they taught it for themselves. And those same individuals, whenever they stand before God in judgment, Jesus identified these people in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, that He will say unto them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." In the Lord's church, as long as we stay committed to true New Testament worship, we do not have to worry about the Lord saying to us concerning our worship being vain. But rather that God would say that He was pleased with the things that we do if we will keep committed to Him. But also, as I think about the Lord's church, I think about our love for every single soul. You know, it saddens me whenever we think about people the way that they can be. Whenever we are in school, a lot of times kids can be very cruel with one another. They will pick on certain ones and they will exalt others. Some are important to them, others are nothing to them. And sadly, there are some who never grow up. Amen? There are some who look to the people that they live with in the world in the same way, is that they will look to status of life, and if you don't have a status in life, you're nothing. In the Lord's church, we understand that every soul has been created after the very image of our God. And God loves every soul equally, and God wants every soul to spend eternity in heaven with Him. And as a result of that, we have an amazing love for our brothers and sisters in Christ here at East End. It is so encouraging, so uplifting, so exciting to see the way in which this congregation interacts with one another. The way in which you speak towards one another and speak about one another. Why do you speak well regarding one another? Why do we see all of the fellowship that we have going on? I believe that it's because we love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But also, as we think about the wonderful things that take place in the brotherhood, and to see the great things then that we are also able to engage in, to participate with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ universally. Why do we have that mutual fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world? I believe it's because of the love that we have for every single soul. But you know, also this congregation, and as a credit to the eldership for the years in the past, the love is here also for every single soul. So many efforts are done locally as well as universally to reach out to the lost and dying world. Why is that? Good people, it's because of the love that we have for every single soul. We realize how important a soul is to God. He's not willing that any would perish, but rather that all would come unto repentance. And in the Lord's church, here, especially at East End, I can speak personally as to the way in which our leadership and the membership work together to reach out to the lost and dying world. What a blessing it is to be a part of a body of believers, of the Lord's church, where that we understand this and that we're doing all that we can to bring souls into a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you know, also in the Lord's church, I believe that we had the right desire as to who is to be glorified. In all things, God is to be glorified. Everything that we say, everything that we do, individually as well as collectively as a congregation, ought to bring glory, honor, and praise unto our God. And that doesn't mean that we don't give each other an attaboy from time to time. That's necessary. But what that means is that as we are working, we understand that it's so much bigger than us. We understand that it's bigger than me. You understand that it's bigger than you. We understand collectively that it's bigger than us as a congregation, but rather that it's always about our God and our Creator. And therefore, whatever we do in the name of Christ, by the authority of Christ. But we do it in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord's church, so that God is glorified in all things. And when God is glorified, we know that God is pleased. And whenever God is pleased, then we hope and pray that also is that lost souls will understand the necessity of coming to Christ in baptism and being a part of the true New Testament church. There are so many things that are right in the church. We have the right understanding of God. We have the right respect for the Scripture. We have the right view in regard to the Lord's kingdom. We have the right proclamation of God's plan. We have the right submission to Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have the right position whenever it comes to the body of Christ. We have the right commitment to true New Testament worship. We have the right love for every single soul. And good people, we have the right desire to make certain that God is glorified. And today, I want to conclude by asking, are you a member of this church? Are you a member of the church that we read of in the Bible? Are you a member of the Lord's church, of the church that we read of, find of in the first century? Are you a member of that church? If not, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you today to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, so that then you can be raised a new creation in Christ, forgiven of sin, and to be counted as a faithful child of God. And then we want to encourage you to live your life faithfully each and every day. Maybe you're here today and you are a member of the church, but yet at the same time you've allowed the cares of the world to carry you away from God. And if you're in that position too, we extend our God's invitation to you.